This is the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for It's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Welcome to the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. I am Jim Beaver, your host here, and we are going to be talking all things Crannon today. Yes, that's right. Recapping the biggest, baddest off-road short course race on the planet right here on the show. I got my good friend Tiffany Stone. She's going to be calling in. We were both on ground, boots on ground at Crannon. And, you know, it should be one hell of a good fun time talking about, you know, just an amazing epic weekend that culminated in RJ Anderson taking that very special Red Bull Cup win to cap off the 50th anniversary at Crannon. Like I said, just such an honor for me to be out there, be able to call the action. Thanks to everybody tuning in on the live stream. All the kind words that you guys said about the commentary. I got to tell you, we were on air for like 25 hours over the course of 2.5 days. And, man, it's enough to kick your ass for sure. And yes, I can cuss on this one because it's a podcast. So thank you guys, though, for all the kind words. It definitely means a lot. So we're going to recap Crannon today. I do want to give a plug into the national show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We have our 400th episode coming next week. Yes, episode number 400. It will be here next week, and I don't think you guys are going to want to miss it. I mean, it's an amazing show. I know so far guest lineups, we got Travis Pastrana locked in to be on the show. We're working on getting some other big name guests, and I think you guys are really going to have a fun one. And man, 400 episodes, never would have thought I'd ever get there. So thank you guys once again, and we'll continue to truck on here and you know, pump out the content. We're going to take a short break. We come back, Tiffany Stone and I, we're going to be talking Crannon right here on the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in. All right, so on this week's Foil Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor, my partner in crime, Mrs. Tiffany Stone. We survived Crannon the 50th, and we're here to talk about it. I know you and I off-air are already making plans for SEMA. We got some fun stuff cranking for that, T-Stone. But Crannon, that was one we've been, I don't even know, we've been talking about it for months at this point. I know it's been in the plans for years, but I got to tell you, the 50th did not disappoint, T-Stone.
No, I mean, the 50th was ridiculous. I got there on Wednesday, you got there on Thursday, and I feel like things just happened every single day, all moments of the day, and was just pretty much a, I guess, an unforgettable experience. Is that a good way to put that?
Yeah. Well, and I know, you know, we called it it was absolutely the biggest short course race of all time. I can't tell you it was the biggest off-road race of all time, because that factors in Baja and a bunch of other stuff. But short course race, hands down, absolutely, without a doubt, the biggest ever. And like you said, like, there was no downtime whatsoever. I know Thursday night I got in a little late. They were supposed to have some racing, and they had the big party there at Jamie Flannery's. Rusty Wallace and Sarah Palin were in attendance at that one. But I know you were out there, and that was kind of the kickoff to literally like a crazy week of festivities out there at the Big House.
Pretty much, yeah, like what you're talking about. I got there Wednesday, and the crazy thing is I – was going to get there a little bit earlier, but I was driving in from Minnesota. So on 9 a.m. on that Wednesday, they did a trail ride through some of old Crandon trails and like some of the trails that are around the Big House and whatnot like that, with Cliff Flannery and Kurt LeDuc and stuff like that. And Kyle, I think, was the one who was, you know, leading the trail ride. But I heard Cliff, this is through Cliff, and it could be a little bit different, but I heard there were over 485 different people at that trail ride in the morning. So that's just Wednesday morning, because the campsites opened up on Tuesday. Then, like you said, Thursday we were supposed to race, but then there was some bad, bad rain that had gone through there, and they didn't want to get the track all messed up a little bit, especially for the racing this weekend. So we didn't do any of that. But then headed over to the Easton Corbin private concert at the Flannery's. And it was really, really cool, because it was just something that was nice to see the new young guns that were there, and then the old guys that were there that have pretty much raced that, and, you know, some of the inductees, like you were talking, and Sarah Palin was there. But it was cool just to see everybody in one area just cutting loose, enjoying the 50th for what it was, and talking stories about racing and what Crannon used to be like and just different things. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I feel like Crannon, I feel like anytime you hype something up like they did, it's always a letdown. Like with events, like, because people get their anticipation up, everybody's like, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And then you get there and you go through it and you're like, oh, that was okay. Or, man, that sucked. But it never lives up to the hype. You know, Fire Festival, anybody? Yeah, I don't know. You familiar with Fire Festive? You giggled. You're like, yeah, of course. But no, like this one, I feel like this was the one event that lived up to the hype. Like absolutely every single day, without a doubt, like hype factor was there and it lived up to it. And, I don't know. I feel like there's very few events that actually do that anymore. You know, people can put their big spin on things, but it's like Crannon delivered this year, you know, like you were talking about that. Then you roll into, Friday. I just love the parade. You and I actually walked around together probably an hour and a half at the parade, just taking it all in and checking everything out. And, you know, it was like we've been going to the parade for how many years, Tiff? And this was absolutely the biggest one I've ever seen, right?
It was the biggest one. It started all the way past the Log Cabin Cafe. So at that main intersection right there with the gas station, the Log Cabin Cafe, all the way down to the other intersection where you make the left to head into the racetrack, that main strip at 8, I think it is, that you head right there into Crandon for the racetrack. But that whole entire thing was filled, even obviously the little parts, the little side streets right in front of group therapy and along that way and in front of the church. But it was so cool to see everybody and anybody that was there, and just the amount of trucks that were there and buggies and mod carts and like stock trucks. It was insane. And I don't know, it was just really cool because you knew everybody there had the love and the passion of short course racing, and people were there to celebrate not only the city of Crandon, you know, the racetrack, but just their love for short course. And it was really cool to see that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the big things I learned down there at the parade, that Tiffany Stone on the weekends or during the week, she doubles as a fire eater. Like, literally, we got this pizza there at group therapy. We ordered 3 pizzas because we were starved for breakfast. This stuff is steaming. Like, literally, the cheese is bubbling on the pizza. Tiff, literally, there was like 5 of us, 6 of us eating it. We all took it, burnt our mouths, put it down. Tiff is sitting there literally eating this pizza that was on fire, and like, you didn't even bat an eye. I was like, you were so hungry, like you sacrificed your taste buds for the rest of your life. Either that or you literally like practice eating fire or something. Like, Tiff, I don't know. Like, that was my takeaway from the whole weekend. Like, Tiffany Stone, this girl can eat hot shit. Like, literally, doesn't matter how hot it is. It, on fire, like, you got no problem with it.
Well, I was getting to that point. Like, I must say that hangry does exist. And, you know, ladies, gents, if you're out there listening and somebody tells you that they're hangry and you don't believe it, it does exist. Hi, my name is Tiffany Stone. Welcome. I do have that. And like, was getting to that point, but you know, I know myself so well now that I know that I'm getting to that point that I brought Cheez-Its into group therapy and my own water, Cheez-Its and water, so I could do that. But I was also watching the pizza being made, like watching it like a hawk. I'm like, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. And then it finally comes out and you're right. I just scarfed that. And you're like, how are you eating this? I'm like, I don't know. It's so good.
And it wasn't just me. It was everybody there. We were all looking and we're like, what is going on here? Because none of us can even hold this pizza in our hand, and you were just literally just devouring it. We were, I was impressed. Like, seriously, like, well, wow, I was impressed, Tiff.
I know. When I tell you I'm hungry and that I want to eat, like, I do. And when I tell you I always have snacks on me, I do as well. Like, I just constantly eat. I like it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask, too. Like, so is this just a temperature hot thing that you're able to do, or flavor hot? Do you, like, literally, like in, you know, habanero, you know, ghost pepper stuff? Like, or is it just literally, like, do you have a problem with, like, hot temperature? Or is it, like, hot flavor? Like, can you do both?
A little bit of both. So my mom's from Thailand, and so I'm kind of born with that type of gene that I should be able to do that. I'm half Thai. So I'm used to spicy foods. I do enjoy that. You know what we could do, Jim? When we're at SEMA and we do our live shows, we should do a hot pepper challenge and record and live stream it or record it and put it up later.
The problem is you're going to win, and my mouth's going to be on fire. I won't be able to actually talk. Like, you're going to have to carry the show, I think. Like, is this your way of trying to get rid of me? You're like, all right, we're going to do this hot pepper challenge, and then I get the mic for an hour, and Jimmy can just go off and drink water or something.
No, who's to say that I wouldn't be able to do it? But I think that's what we should do, or maybe have our guest come in. They'd have to sign a waiver, maybe. I don't know. I think that would be funny.
I'll text Sam Rady with Car Throttle, because I know I want to get her back on air. I'll be like, Sam, how are you with hot stuff? She'll be like, Jimmy, what the hell?
Or at least, like, test, like, the hot. I'm a big fan of hot sauce.
Yeah.
So I enjoy, like, hot sauce. Shout out to Arizona Gunslingers, the ghost pepper one, because that is my jam. I enjoy that. So every time I go to Arizona, I try to get that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's what I like about Arizona.
That's what you like about Arizona is the hot sauce. Nice. That's your Christmas present this year. I'm just going to give you, like, this entire, like, I guess, like, gift basket full of, like, on fire hot sauce. I think that's what's going to happen this year. Just putting it out there.
Well, after we're done with this, I might take a Instagram video and put it up on my stories so you can see the amount of hot sauce that I have. And I just purchased two new ones in Minnesota because I tried it at the restaurant.
Yeah. You know how Amazon has, what are they, these like gift registries or something like that, you know? And like people have like the most bizarre stuff on there. Tiffany's is all just full of hot sauce. I think that's probably what your gift registry looks like, right?
No, actually, I didn't tell you this, but Amazon had me become a new like influencer stuff. So you could actually go to my Teastone approved storefront and all these products that I like to use, not even like sponsor stuff, just random. So maybe I'll make a Teastone approved hot sauce on my storefront that you could go look at and people could see what my favorite hot sauce
is. How is that? Because I got an email from them and wanting me to join the influencer program, and I kind of just passed it off, but I know Sarah Price did it, and now I see you're telling me you did it. Like, have you got any payments yet? How does that work? Is it just all basically you get a percentage of all the sales through your store or something, right?
I think so. I'm just really kind of getting into it. Yeah, I saw that Sarah did it as well, but I always like Amazon, especially for what we do and traveling and being able to be like, oh, I need that, and it shows up at my house when I get home. But I just really started adding stuff to my storefront. So, you know, I have the KM3s, the BF Goodrich's KM3s. So mine are 37, 12 and a half by 17. So I put that in my storefront so I can send people there and be like, hey, these are the tires that I run. If you want to get them, you know, these are a great deal. And so some of that stuff, the Vision wheels that I have those Creep ones in bronze. I put that on there as well, just so people can see the things that I like. And if they want that, they can order there. And then I think later on, I'll add to my website where you could either order from that or you could just order straight from the site too. So,
so you
see
like
which one works.
So you like Creeps is what you're saying.
I do. Radiohead Creeps.
Yeah. No. So where were we at as we got derailed talking about hot sauce and everything else? I guess we got to circle back where we were originally at. I guess we were talking about the parade. Yes, parade. And then, which they actually, it was crazy because, you know, you think of Crandon, Labor Day Crandon is racing on Saturday and Sunday, World Champion, Sportsman World Championship Saturday, Cup Sunday, you know, they crown all the pro world champs. And you forget, like, Crandon started last year. They added a couple of races in on Friday night. Well, this year, the plan was to add Thursday and Friday races. Thursday races got scratched because of rain, so they doubled down on Friday, and it was a massive, massive amount of races. I mean, it was like a full day of racing crammed into the afternoon. I know they ran a little bit shorter races, but I thought that was kind of rad, Tiff. And like for people like you and I felt like the pressure – the people at Crandon, the track workers, course workers, us as on-air talent, man, we work double time on Saturday and Sunday because there's so many races crammed in. I loved this adding stuff to Friday because I felt like it kind of relieved some of the pressure. Like it wasn't like stacked on top of each other, and I felt like everybody was able to get a little bit of fresh air a little bit, you know?
No, I totally agree with it. And when we were talking about Friday night races, how they were shortened, most of them were six laps. The crazy thing is anytime they're from 6 to 8 to 12, if they're a larger race, there could be 14 laps, depending on what class they're in. But knowing that you only have six laps to do stuff, so you're going to have to condense your drive style, change some things, I thought that was really cool because you could see really how the drivers adapted to a different type of timing. You know, like they know, hey, I got six laps to get stuff in. I'm going to have comp yellow right here. Hopefully there's no yellows. What can I do? I usually make a pass in lap seven, but I don't have that time. So it's really cool to see how that played out. And then, you know, Friday or Saturday going into that and having just so many races one after another, it was just jam packed, but you were always looking at something and there was something going on. That's why at the beginning, when we were saying this, it was like you started on Wednesday, Thursday, and you didn't stop till Monday morning.
Yeah, it was, yeah, stopped till Monday morning. Some of them didn't stop. I got some interesting texts from RJ Anderson, but we'll get to those here in a little bit. But, yeah, and then Friday night, I know, you know, I had a bunch of people. I've seen Kid Rock in concert before, so I honestly, I know listeners are probably going to assassinate me over this. I did not go to the Kid Rock concert, but I know you did go to the Kid Rock concert. You've actually seen him in person perform before as well. How was that, Tiff? Had it been, I mean, everybody said it was off the hook.
It was great. And no, like I, you know, was talking to Marty about it before, and he was saying how Kid Rock's crew was like, listen, this is going to be an actual show. This is going to be what's happening. We're bringing in all the works. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be a real concert. It's not going to be some, you know, half-assed concert. It's going to be something that's really great. So, and it was, and it was just really cool the way that they did it. They did it in that area where they normally do the parking lot. So that was nice because obviously it's already fenced in. It kept everything there. They had food and drinks and stuff for the VIP. And then there was a separate line for general admission. So it made the flow go through really well. And it was nice. And if you were, you know, Fox or Yokohama and you had your trailers there, you could be able to just to watch it, you know, right from there. And shout out to the people who didn't realize where their campsite was going to be, but literally was right next to the concert. So they didn't even have to leave, you know, the comfort of their trailer or their RV to watch that. So it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. The weather, it was cold, but in that little area, it was nice, but it got down to like 48 degrees.
Yeah. You're from Detroit. 48 degrees is not cold. I hate to tell you, but things are going to get worse for you by January, Tiff.
Yeah, but by January, I head back out to the desert, unless we're going to have the same problems we had at KOH this year, where it snowed in Southern California for some reason.
You're a snowbird.
I should be okay.
It's what we call the old people here in Arizona that go from, like, the Midwest and, you know, and up north, and they come to Arizona for the good weather. They're snowbirds, right? You're a snowbird, but you're just a snowbird in your 30s. Like, you've got it made. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm just going out to – I'm going down south for the wintertime. Full-on snowbird,
yeah.
T-Stone. We're going to get you an F-350 dually here, and you're going to have your fifth wheel hooked up and towing your Jeep behind the fifth wheel, and you're going to have, like, be towing triples out to Arizona for the wintertime. Like, I got this whole picture envisioned right now of what you're going to look like, so.
That is goals. I'm being 100% serious. That is 100% my goals. That's what I want to do. And then I told Dave Cole in 5 years I would race King of the Hammers. So I'm going to figure out what I want to do. I want to race King of the Hammers in 2025.
Well, why not?
So that's another goal.
I think we could make this like a 2021 deal, though. Like, for real, we don't need to do 2025. I think we can make it a 2021 thing. Don't wait so long.
Yeah, but I guess that's true. I just want to have really good seat time. I have a lot of seat time in my Jeep, so I'm kind of used to already being, obviously Ultra 4 vehicles are completely different, that the 4400s are completely different. I get that, but it's essentially somewhat type of the same. And so I think that would be cool. That's something I told Dave that I want to do. And then I guess we could say in 2025, I'd have my own off-road performance shop for Jeeps and different vehicles like that.
Check you out. So where would this shop be located in? Are you going to try and keep it in Detroit, or are you going to move out west here?
I don't know. I really do enjoy out west, but I like the four seasons that Michigan has to offer. I don't know. Maybe I will just continually be a snowbird and just have a shop in both places.
It's goals right now. We're getting T-Stone's life plan. Your 10-year plan is we're getting a chance to hear it here firsthand. But yeah, talking about the racing though, on Saturday, I got to tell you, like, Sportsman's, they always bring it. You know, we talk about them being, you know, the lifeblood of the Midwest and stuff like that. And you know, Crannon, no different. I know we had some Sportsman World Championships on the line, and then you talked about about Ultra Fours and stuff like that. I know they were in action. And they did that interesting. So they ran two different races for Ultra 4. On Sunday, they ran the short course. And then on Saturday, though, they ran, I don't know what we call it, but it's the one where they go out into the forest. But they changed it and add the big rocks and things like that. And, man, that race was rad, being run at night. And then did you see Lauren Healy's crash, though? I went up to him after the race, and his car was parked there, and it looked worse than it was. He actually crashed so hard he never touched the roof. Which is always a scary thing, but like, I went up and talked with Lauren, and man, his hair was all messy, and like, he was still like in a daze. He was just like, wow, that was a big hit. Like, I don't know, that the Ultra 4 is like, they have become that past couple of years like a key piece of Crannon. And I know Dave Cole had said, and I think Marty, next year June Crannon is actually going to be part of the Ultra 4 World Tour or whatever they're calling it. So I think June Crannon is going to be huge for Ultra 4s next year, which would be rad. But I think it's kind of interesting how Ultra 4 has now become this big piece of Crannon, you know?
No, I think it's so exciting. Well, because they have all that area in the back. And I actually was talking to Dave about it earlier. And I was like, hey, Dave, I'm going to take out my Jeep on the Ultra 4 track. Just want to let you know. And he's like, well, actually, we're going out at 3 p.m., Tiffany, if you want to come check it out with us. So that video that's up on my Instagram and Facebook, that's a little bit part of the Ultra 4 track. So if people kind of want to go see it, it's a time lapse, but you'll kind of see what they get to go through. And it was a little bit wider than it was last year. So with it being a little bit wider, it was easier for certain people to be able to pass. And I know that they were talking about that. And then when we kind of got to the Rock Hill, if you're looking at it, the Rock Hill where they hit it first is just like a normal Rock Hill, but at the top it's very narrow, so you can't really pass on the Rock Hill. You have to make it up there. So if you see some video where they're trying to get position, it's because to the right of it when you're going up, it just goes straight down. And then also when you get to the other side, when you get over the crest, you had to be very particular too, because if you went a little bit too far left, there was a big hole. So it's cool because it gives you a little taste of King of the Hammers, especially for anybody in the Midwest who hasn't been to King of the Hammers. And then it also gives the short course and just like it gives a mixture. And I think that's what Crandon was perfect for, because they have so much property out there. I wouldn't be surprised if for June there was another rock section somewhere different. So there was like two rock sections or like a water mud area or something like that. I just think it's going to get bigger and bigger. And especially since you said it's going to be a part of the stops for that in June, I don't see why it wouldn't, because it's just going to bring more people out there. They've already cleared out that entire like side where the spectators were able to watch it. So I think it's a great idea, and it's going to be so cool come the future.
Yeah, you know, and Crandon actually posted an aerial photo of the track, you know, with everybody packed in and stuff like that. And it's – I didn't this year. I should have. We were so busy, you know. I think I calculated it out, and you, me, and Brent, it was like 25 or 26 hours of live stream we did. I think you clipped us by an hour because you had to stick around for Ultra 4 and that podium, which ultimately didn't happen, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, like, I mean, that was a legit amount of time on air. So I think like this year, I mean, we had a ton of fun, but I wasn't able to actually venture deep in there. But looking at that, like, you forget how deep into the woods Crandon goes, like, and their property with camping and things like that. Like, it is so big. Like, you see the people on the hill and things like that, but man, I don't think you really get a perspective of how far and how big that facility actually is.
No, exactly. And they even had some sportsman side-by-side pits way back where it used to be nothing back there, to the point where Johnny Greaves was even saying that at the tree turn they had to put those bright yellow K-rails, and CJ was even saying how intimidating they were, because those guys, that's kind of like their home track along with Keegan, that, you know, they're so used to nothing being there. And Johnny's like, it's a little crazy. And CJ said the same thing, a little intimidating coming around that tree turn, noticing those bright yellow K rails. So that was something that the drivers had to be able to kind of get used to. And then further in the back where the sportsmen's were, for the sportsmen side-by-sides, they had to put other K rails back there because, you know, that was a part of the track and nothing used to be there. So that just goes to show you that in a matter of a year, not even, that they can just push everything back and just widen it. So like I said, I'm really surprised to see kind of what's going to happen. It's going to be kind of cool. What if they start putting, you know, some cool sky boxes back there for the Ultra 4 specifically, you know, and have that out there in like a Jumbotron where you could watch that. That would be so cool to be able to watch the Ultra 4s like that.
No, I think it would be totally rad. And, you know, talking about that, it's funny you talk about the tree turn, because that was the first thing I noticed. I'm like, oh, wow, they got K-rails there. And we saw in June, RJ Anderson full on like 360'd off the top of that berm. And immediately I started thinking, I'm like, wow, like that's going to cause some catastrophic damage, where in the past, like, you blow that corner, and, you know, there's a drop there, but it's not bad. Like, it's not like you're going to yard sale or anything. I'm like, man, that's going to do some damage. And I think it's funny because every single, you know, year, whether it be June or Labor Day, there's always one or two cars that go off the backside. This year, we didn't see one car hit that K-rail, which I thought we would. But looking at that corner, like, everybody was checking up and getting their braking in really, really early. because I think they knew in the back of their mind, like, it was like they had to be conservative now going into that corner. So that's something we haven't talked about, but I felt like just because that one corner, guys had to, and girls had to change their driving style a bit just to be able to set up for it, because they knew, you know, there's some serious consequences if I blow this, where in years past they could just full on back it in. And, you know, if they got it, came in a little too hot, there really wasn't anything that was going to happen.
No, exactly. And I mean, it's just really cool to be able to see it. And I think Kyle Chaney put one up of his Pro 4, a drone flying through there, following and watching everything. And what I don't think that some people understand and see is that it gets, the terrain changes so much in that less than 2 mile course, that it's ridiculous. On, you know, a lot of the drivers need to know how to set up their cars. Because I was talking to some of the guys, and especially in the pro light for guys, which that was so awesome to see 20 plus pro lights out there. But talking to some of the pro lights, you know, if there was a possibility that they were going to have to race just the short track to make some time up, if based on weather and different things. And knowing that if they have to race on the short track, a lot of the times they're not geared up just for the long track. So if they ever switch, they have to re-gear everything to be able to get those higher gears on the long straightaways for everything, which is kind of crazy because you're going in kind of blind sometimes with Crandon because you never know the weather. So there's a possibility you could race just on the short track. And then what if you're gearing set up for the long track? So it was really cool to know that the terrain changes, the possibilities of weather, what you're going to do with a setup. And honestly, I don't know if a lot of people, you know, if you're not familiar with Crandon, a lot of that time it's a tire grooving setup that wins a lot of those races, because if your tires are set up for something that's slick and it's tacky out there, it's not going to work, especially because Blue Groove is so prominent as well. So to me, Crandon is so much a tire setup game because of the way that the terrain changes.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And I think this year in particular, you know, I guess we can talk a little bit about Sunday, you know, but weather was solid all weekend long. I know we got a little drizzle, you know, well, there was a little bit of moisture on Thursday and then a little drizzle kind of as the cup race was going on Sunday. But for the most part, it was pretty dry. We saw a lot of dust at times, but I think the Pro 2s, you know, in the conditions we had were like crazy, crazy fast. And, you know, and it really made a difference when we finally got to the cup race, because Keegan Kincaid, I mean, this is the way you want a cup race to happen, right? You finally want the leading Pro 4 to catch the leading Pro 2 on the last lap of the race, and that's what happened. And I know, you know, talking with cup drivers and things like that, it's a crapshoot every year. Some years the Pro 4s are faster. Some years the Pro 2s are faster. It all depends, you know, on a lot on track conditions and things like that, but I felt like it was a perfect storm this year, you know what I mean? And, you know, you can't ask for much more when, you know, RJ Anderson passes Keegan on the last lap of the race. That's the way this thing is supposed to be. You know what I mean? You know, and I don't think they could have, I don't think they could have staggered him any better, Tiff.
No, and that was the thing. I know a lot of people always question, because a lot of people are wondering about different motors and how much horsepower, but I think that that's the way that they were supposed to do it, because, you know, like you were saying, the Pro 2s and Pro 4s should meet or possibly towards the, you know, the last lap or second to last lap towards the end. They should be coming around turn one about ish the same time and going through that last lap as like a crapshoot, like you said. I think that it played out perfectly. I know RJ and I were joking the whole weekend, because on Friday night, I don't know why him and his team decided to do mullets, but they did. And they took one of his photographer's mullet hair and taped it into a hat, and then proceeded to take that mullet hair and tape it into his helmet, where on, you know, Saturday he got third place, and then proceeded to keep that in there. And then he got second place, and we were joking about how fast he was. I was like, is this the mullet, RJ, that's making you fast and doing everything like that and just joking around? And then he was like, you know, I got a third and I got a second. I'm hoping for that first. And for that cup race, he got the cup race and he got the first. And it was kind of crazy just to see what happened. And it was cool because his dad was there for part of the Legends race with all those RS1s. And, you know, his you know, Walker Evans was there as well. And I know how much that whole family and that dynamic. So to be able to see RJ accomplish this, the 50th anniversary, his friends, his family, his girlfriend there, his crew, everybody, it was really surreal to see somebody's dreams and happiness and goals come together, and especially on such an iconic moment. So I know, you know, with that, it could be anybody, but it was cool to see everything come together. It was very, I'm getting all like touchy-feely now, but very heartwarming to see it.
Yeah. Well, and I know too, it was funny because it came down to the wire with Keegan and RJ. And RJ getting around Keegan on the last lap, well, you know, as we saw after the race, like, they're really good friends. And so, you know, I think obviously Keegan wanted to win this thing. I mean, it's the 50th, it's Cran, it's his hometown. Keegan's got a cup win in the past. Like, I got a feeling like if anybody, you know, if Keegan could have picked anybody to win that wasn't him, RJ probably would have been towards the top of that list. But they had a good time. It was fun seeing them celebrate together, you know what I mean, after the event and, you know, at the barn party there on Sunday night, which that thing gets out of hand and out of control in a hurry. But it was great seeing them celebrate. And I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. But I mean, what are some of your other takeaways, Tiff? I mean, just looking at the divisions, we don't have to go through them all, but I know Jarrett Brooks had a great run. I mean, Christopher Polvorde, how much can we talk about this kid? Perfect season, Tiff. 8 for 8, won the points title and Tacoma World Championship. Like, you want to talk about a statement year for somebody. I mean, Polvorde, wow, that's insane.
No, it was great. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, just having a chat with him, and it's really cool. That's another great story to see come together and see some, you know, a person work so hard to be where they're at. And he's just driving so great and he's unstoppable. I thought that was really cool to see that. Another one of my favorites that I got to see was a Nick Visser. He won the stock truck. And it was just really cool to see everything come together because that family worked so hard, and he has his son race, and his son was there doing that. Michael Meister was, again, another world champ and series champ. And it's really cool. What we forget, though, is because we have all these sportsmen's world champions, we have the Crandon Cup, that we forget sometimes to celebrate the season champs for the Midwest Short Course League. So it's really cool to see that happen too. So a lot of stuff happens, and it was just a great overall weekend, like we've been talking about the whole time.
Yeah, it was funny because Michael Meister, I know you and I both, we got a soft spot for that kid because he's just such a nice quality human being. And I've got to know his girlfriend a little bit too, and same thing. Like, he's just – he's one of the good ones. And not to say anybody else are not one of the good ones, but like, once you meet Meister, you'll understand what we're talking about. But he walks up to me, and it's, you know, at the barn party, and you know, he's got a beer in his hand, and you know, rightfully so, he deserved it. And we're talking, and you know, and he goes, yeah, you know, and he's like, yeah, I think you know, this might be it. And I said, well, you said that last year was it, and I said, you're back this year. And his girlfriend kind of laughed, and you know, and yeah, he goes, yeah, but I think I'm serious, you know, I think I'm gonna take a year off or something like that. And I said, cool, man, so we'll see you in June here at Crandon in the Super Buggy. And his girlfriend started laughing. She goes, exactly. And he just laughed and shook his head. I said, dude, you're gonna be back here in June, don't tell me you're taking a year off. And he goes, probably so. And his girlfriend goes, he'll be here regardless of what he says. And it was just funny because he's so humble. But I totally looked at him, I'm like, you can't bullshit a bullshitter, dude. what are you trying to fool here, man? It was one of those funny moments.
Exactly. And he's so nice too. And just even the words that you say, that literally sounds like him. And, you know, and like, he's, but put a helmet on him and put him in a suit and put him behind that super buggy, and it's completely different. And we were talking about it, and he's just so methodical. He's so smooth. He sets up every pass. He knows what's going to happen. He doesn't make any dumb moves at all. He capitalizes on every person's mistake in front of him. He could start all the way in the back. Say there's 25 super buggies, he will still end up in the top five, if not the top spot, every single time.
He doesn't get frustrated either.
It's just ridiculous how great of a driver he is.
That's the thing. He can get bumped, banged around, spun out. Like, he can get, you know, he can have the dirty done to him. And, like, he doesn't lose his composure. Like, he always battles back, and he's right there. Like, that's a kid, and I don't know that we'll ever see it, you know what I mean, because budgets, sponsors, whatever. But that's a kid I look at, and I'm like, I would love to see him in, like, a Pro 2. Like, I mean, because he knows the track so well, like, and with his composure, like, I think he'd be so awesome to see behind the wheel of a Pro 2 at some point.
Mm-hmm. No, completely. I think it's cool. Like, I always try to talk to him about it. He never tells me, but I'm hoping that happens soon. He's a great, great person. Him and his girlfriend are always so nice. So it's cool. I like him.
Yeah.
That's a couple goals right there.
A couple goals, yeah. Put a ring on it, Meister. What are you doing? And he listens to this show, by the way, so I'm sure we'll start getting messages on social media. Man, talk about putting me on the spot. But
exactly.
Yeah. So other than that, I don't know what I don't know. We things were solid. Another Cranon in the books. I'm already looking forward to next year. I know Marty, I talked with him earlier this week and he was just pumped on everything. I think he's decompressing now and they still have a couple of weeks worth. But, I just honestly, Tiff, I got to thank everybody. I know, you probably the same thing. But the Cranon family, like I know a couple years ago, you've been back there longer than I have. But I was, 2 years ago, Marty, flew me back. It's the first time I actually ever met you. Marty flew me in to do some radio interviews and call some of the side-by-side races and stuff like that. And was like, then I was like, literally that day, that I got there, I was welcomed into the Cranon family. He introduced me to everything, and literally, I feel like I go back there every year, and I have a family. The people that work at the track and in the offices, and it's like I get to see some of those people, twice a year in June and the fall. But like, I truly feel like I've got a family there in Cranon, and I don't know how to explain it because I've got friends, and everything, but there's just something magical about Cranon and the people and just everything about that track, and I've said it before, like the only other place I've ever felt that magic was at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I truly mean that about Cranon. Like if people are listening in, and everybody hypes Cranon every year and things like that, but like the magic is there. I tell everybody, I'm like, if you can go to one event a year, make it Cranon.
100%. It's something different. Especially for the short course area, especially for the Midwest, they have great brats, they have great chicken wings, they have great cheese curds. See, listen to me talking about food first and snacks. It's great. I enjoy everything about it. The vibe, the personalities, the people that are there, the families, the community, the racing. It's just all really cool. And to be at such a great iconic spot, like you definitely can't miss it.
Yeah, I definitely can't miss it at all. And I don't know. I know what's next for us. Obviously, Cranon capped off. I know you've LSPR for you. I know I've got I got Lucas Oil, the doubleheader there in Glen Helen. I know you and I've got some SEMA doings we're doing together. But other than that, what do you got in the pipeline here, Tiff? You in Detroit for a bit?
Yeah, like we were talking about, I just have the rally that's going on next week and stuff like that. Then the one that's LSPR upstate in Michigan, and then heading off to Trail to SEMA. So I got to make sure everything's all good for that, doing everything with the Jeep at the shop in a few weeks, setting that up, switching over. I'm moving up to 37s, going to put some more armor on there and just pretty much get ready for that. It's going to be 10 days this year, so it's pretty cool to see all of that come together.
Yeah. So all you listeners, she's gone from 35s to 37s. Mark this spot. Week after Cranon next year, she's going to be on air, and she's going to be like, hey, I'm moving to 40s for Trail to SEMA. Guaranteed. It's going to happen, Tiff.
No, I think that is going to happen. So I'm moving up to a 3.5-inch lift from my 2-inch lift. So those 37s should be able to fit perfectly on there.
So, all right, Tiff. Well, always fun catching up. Good times out there at Cranon, and can't wait to do it again in 2020 with you.
Sounds good.
Oh, man, that was a hell of a ride. Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this listening to this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. And welcome back here to the Foil Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Just wrapping things up, thanks to all of you guys for the continued support of the show. Foil Parts, thank you for the support. Make sure and head over to Foil Parts' website. They just launched, I got the video out there on my Instagram, a brand new winch by Smitty Belt, custom made just for Foil Parts. You definitely want to check it out. Game changer as far as winches go. If you're an off-road person, you definitely want to get locked and loaded in on that one. Make sure and subscribe to the show over there on iTunes. If you're a wrestling fan, Project Action this week, you know, my third show, I've got Piper Teal, daughter of Rowdy Roddy Piper. She was my guest there on Project Action. So if you're a wrestling fan, you probably want to chime in, check that one out. Check us out, all the content at downanddirtyshow.com, and all the content that they got cranking there at Four Wheel Parts, man. The dirt at Four Wheel Parts, game-changing stuff. Some of the best off-road content you can find on the web. Also, big shout out to Polaris Razor, General Tire, Vision Wheel, Dirtfish. Don't forget, Down Dirty DF is a coupon code over there at Dirtfish. Gibson Exhaust, and all the people who support us. Super ATV, if you need some axles for your UTV, man, they have the best damn axles on the planet. That's for sure. You know, and just everybody that supports the show, keeps us going. Man, couldn't do it without you guys. So thanks to everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next week right here on the Foil Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.